into the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. I am Brady Cannon live from the Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook here in fabulous Las Vegas on a Saturday. My partner Wes Reynolds is in beautiful downtown Las Vegas inside the VSiN studio at the Circa Resort and Casino on this moving day at the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines Golf Course in La Jolla, California. Your leaders, Russell Henley and Richard Bland, 5 under par each for the championship. They will tee off in about 90 minutes from now. And some early movement on the leaderboard on moving day, Wes Reynolds, by two gentlemen that are paired together, the Englishman Paul Casey and former U.S. Open winner Jordan Spieth, making a little move up the leaderboard so far this morning.
Yeah, we do have those guys up to 1 over par. I believe Casey, 3 under on his round. Poulter, 2 under on his round. As you said, Jordan Spieth, a couple birdies, now at 2 over. And we've only had one guy move in the red figure so far today. That's Brian Harman, who is 2 under through 4 holes, now 1 under par on the tournament. Rory McIlroy also has an early birdie. He is at even par. So seeing a little bit of movement, and we could kind of expect that a little bit, and we've talked about that in terms of the POA greens, Brady. They're a little bit more pure in the morning, and then they get a little bumpier as the day goes along, so that's what the leaders are going to have to deal with here at the U.S. Open. As you mentioned, final pairing, which is Russell Henley and Richard Bland, that's going to be at 1:35. So leaders probably going to tee off within about an hour to an hour and a half here in terms of those final pairings. So really not a lot of change at the top of the board in terms of the in running. If you look at BetMGM right now, John Rahm is your 4-to-1 favorite to get this done. He is 3 under par, 2 back of the leaders, Bland and Henley. Bland is at 30-to-1, Russell Henley 11-to-1. Louis Oosthuizen, the big game hunter in the majors, was in contention at the PGA last month. So showing up yet again in a major, he is 7-to-1 along with Xander Schauffele, who is 3 back, and then Matthew Wolff at 10-to-1, Brooks Koepka at 16-to-1, Bryson DeChambeau at 18-to-1, Bubba Watson 20-to-1. He will be in the pairing, the third to last pairing with John Rahm. Also, you mentioned Kevin Streelman at 40-to-1. He has had a very good tournament and a very good putter, a guy who can make birdies very rapidly. But if you look, Brady, we kind of talked about this trend last night on our After the Cut podcast for long shots that you can get at VSiN.com. The trend really has been you got to be very close to the lead, obviously, to win this thing. 23 of the last 25 U.S. Open champions were at or within 2 strokes of the lead after 36 holes, and 24 of the last 25 were inside the top 6 after 36 holes. So what does that narrow it down to? Narrows it down to 6 players. Richard Bland, Russell Henley, Louis Oosthuizen, Matthew Wolff, John Rahm, and Bubba Watson. However, if you look at some of these guys, like, look, I don't think anybody believes Xander Schauffele 3 back, even though he wouldn't qualify for those 2 trends I just mentioned. I don't think anybody really thinks he is out of it. I don't think anybody necessarily thinks that maybe Bryson DeChambeau or Brooks Koepka or Morikawa or Justin Thomas, these guys at even par, can't post a 67 a day and be right there on the lead or near the lead going into Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Kevin Streelman, a great putter on Poana Greens as well. We've seen him have great success up in Northern California at Pebble Beach and a very similar layout and surface here at Torrey Pines. So Streelman, certainly one of those sleepers, just 3 shots off the lead. And you talk about Louis Oosthuizen. We see Brooks Koepka, and it really came out not only on Thursday but again on Friday, how this guy just continues to flip that switch and show up in every major championship. Now, he's 1 more than Louis Oosthuizen, but boy, the South African, he is absolutely right there, it seems, every time we look up at a major championship leaderboard as well.
Yeah, he certainly is. He's always the big game hunter, of course, has that British Open, that Open Championship at St. Andrews, but he does have the bridesmaid runner-up finish in all 4 majors, so kind of a kind of second place grand slam, if you will, for Oosthuizen. But he's always there. He's never really on great lead-in form per se, but he always tends to show up here, so he's definitely very much a factor this weekend.
Moving day indeed, the third round of the Men's United States Open Championship, the 121st edition going down in La Jolla, California at Torrey Pines Golf Course. We will continue to update the scores throughout the program here. The program is The Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you. I'm live at the Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook. Wes is in downtown Las Vegas at the VSiN Studios inside the Circa Resort and Casino. And Wes, if you look at the adjusted odds on the overnight, of course, you mentioned the After the Cut podcast for long shots that we did on Friday night, and we talked about a few guys that we thought had some value. Scottie Scheffler, just four shots off the lead. You have him in pocket pre-tournament. Kevin Streelman positioned nicely at about 33. Scheffler at 33-1. Streelman at 40-1 on the adjusted odds board. I know you and I both have Jon Rahm and Xander Schauffele in pocket pre-tournament, and I'm feeling good as are you about those two gentlemen going forward here for the final 36 holes. Did you end up adding anybody to win this championship to the portfolio there, Wes, or did you do any third round head-to-head matchups going into today?
I added a small play on Matt Wolf at 10-1. Now, it can obviously go very sideways here for Matt Wolf. We've seen him out the last 2 months due to injuries, so didn't really have a lot of form coming in and kind of drifted up to a big price, obviously a much bigger than the 10-1 that you can get on him right now in play. But if you look at what he did on Thursday, Brady, he did have 8 birdies, which is unprecedented almost for a round at the U.S. Open. Now, he ended up only 1 under par through his first round, but shot a 68 yesterday. And, you know, he's just one of those guys that gains so much off the tee. I think he's one of the field leaders in terms of strokes he gained off the tee. He's gaining on approach. He's not losing in terms of his putting right now. So we know that that's always kind of the issue with Matthew Wolf, is that he's going to lose a little bit with that flat stick and doesn't really make a lot of putts. But Matt Wolf was one of the leaders going into the weekend in terms of the ball striking. And still, even if you count third round numbers, he's fourth in the field. He's gained a total of 3.5 shots off the tee. He's gained 4 1/3 shots on approach. Been losing a little bit in terms of his chipping game and those shots that maybe get a little short of the green. But through 2 rounds, he's gained 2.5 strokes putting. So if he continues to do that, he's going to be right there, I think. And look, I didn't really consider him because he had such that long layoff. I didn't really know how he was going to play. But we know he was right there at the U.S. Open, at least finishing tie for second. Bryson eventually put a lot of distance between the field there at Wingfoot and won by 6 shots. But Matthew Wolf is a guy that his first 2 majors, he was in the top 5. We saw him rally at the PGA Championship last year at Harding Park. Got himself in contention, fell just short of Colin Morikawa. So this is a guy that has proven he can play really well in majors in his young career. He's been so erratic, though, due to these injuries and such. So Matthew Wolf was the only guy that I did add. I felt I needed to add somebody at the top that I did not have. I don't have a ton of confidence in Richard Bland, considering this is only the 4th major championship he has ever played in his career since 1998 as a touring professional. And also Russell Henley. Look, we always talk about Russell Henley, how good he is on Bermuda greens. We didn't expect this, I don't think, necessarily on POA greens here on the West Coast, but he's right there. He's obviously a more known and stable commodity than Richard Bland, but I felt they needed to add somebody near the top, and it was Matthew Wolf.
Yep, absolutely. Jordan Spieth, by the way, has finished his round. He is 3 under par on his round today, and his playing partner, Paul Casey, he pours in a birdie at the 18th as well. Casey will finish his round at even par for the championship. Jordan Spieth finishes his day at 1 over for the championship, so a couple of good moves by those guys. You mentioned Matthew Wolf. I was really introduced to his length off the tee at that match during the quarantine when he teamed up with Ricky Fowler. Mm-hmm. And they took on Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy, and I took Matthew Wolf as an underdog to post the longest drive. Everybody was thinking McIlroy and DJ are going to outdrive Fowler and Wolf. Not the case. Wolf, one of the longest guys in the world off the tee. Also, the Open Champion in 2018, Francesco Molinari, off to a 1 under par start on his day. He is 1 over for the United States Open Championship. Wes, we're talking some baseball here. Baseball going on, and I want to start on the college level, the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska, the greatest show on dirt. And the first game got underway a little over an hour ago. Stanford and the Wolfpack of NC State. And the Cardinal went off as about a minus 145 favorite in this game. 10 is your total. But right now it's all Wolfpack. 4-0 in favor of NC State in the early going against Stanford.
Yeah, I'd say a mild surprise here in Omaha so far in the first game, considering what Brendan Beck, who is the ace of the Stanford staff, has done recently. Only 8 earned runs in his last 39 1/3 innings pitched. So he's really been putting up good numbers. We remember last week, Stanford, they really put Texas Tech kind of on ice, and they had to go to Lubbock, which is really more of a hitter's park, and shut down the Red Raiders lineup. But they drummed them 24-3 by a combined score in those two games. And now they get NC State, who just kind of slayed the dragon. They knocked out number one Arkansas, who's the number one ranked team, number one overall seed in the Super Regionals, and went to Fayetteville and beat them in three games, despite the fact that I believe they lost that Friday game. I think it was 21-2 was the final score, Arkansas over the Wolfpack. But it's been all Wolfpack so far. And look, they're the hot team coming in. If you're somebody that's a believer, hey, let's ride the team with momentum, let's ride the hot team, it is absolutely NC State, 23-5 over their last 28 games, looking to make it 24-5, out to a 4-0 lead over the Cardinal here in Omaha.
Yeah, and our resident expert on the College World Series is Lou Finicaro. Of course, he hails from Omaha, Nebraska. Very familiar with this College World Series tournament over the years. It was a couple of years back that he gave me Oregon State, who ended up winning it all. And this year, he's given out a couple of recommended futures plays as well. You go to VSiN.com and you can find that. Mississippi State was one of his plays, and then also Arizona. And I wonder if there's a little bias there. Lou, of course, is a Wildcat himself, but I like both of those plays in the neighborhood of 8 or 10-1, the Mississippi State Bulldogs and the Arizona State Wildcats. And speaking of the Wildcats, Wes, coming up later today, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, Arizona will square off against the tournament favorite, the Commodores of Vanderbilt. And then on Sunday, you have Virginia, Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Texas getting their College World Series underway. Did you do anything with the late contest tonight down in Omaha?
I think I might, though. I have not done anything yet, but this price, I think, on Arizona is very high. I was very surprised to see it come out where it did. You're now seeing right here at Circuits, plus 170, BetMGM, plus 165. And Kumar Rocker is the one that's going to go for Vanderbilt, who's also very good in his own right. A little bit surprising that they didn't go with Jack Leiter to go ahead and start game one here in Omaha, but they go in with Kumar Rocker, who I think Arizona maybe can get to. And I think Arizona actually is a decent fit for TD Ameritrade Park. Remember, this is no longer in Rosenblatt Stadium, where the balls used to fly out of the yard with those aluminum bats. This is much more a difficult park to get it out of the yard, even though they've already gotten one out here in the early game. It has gone up, really, in recent years, but this is still not a bandbox here, or sandbox, rather, in Omaha. So you're going to see a lot of, you know, if you got to score runs, you're going to see a lot of base hits, a lot of doubles. And that's what Arizona kind of does offensively. They kind of paper cut you to death. And I think because this is not a team that really has a ton of power per se in terms of the long ball, this is a team that I think can get some decent runs on the board because of what they can do, base hits, moving runners, just kind of spraying it a little bit around the yard. They're also a team that can draw a lot of walks, and that's what you worry about a little bit with Kumar Rocker, who has a lot of power. But Arizona is really patient at the plate. They are 7th in the nation, by the way, in drawing walks. They lead the nation also in hits, runs, and triples. So they're a team that's getting it done, moving, you know, kind of old school baseball, getting guys on base, get them on, get them over, get them in, and not necessarily having to make a living just off the long ball.
Yeah, a storied program there down in Tucson as they represent the Pac-12 along with Stanford in the College World Series. You seeing Vanderbilt is about a minus 170 favorite, Wes, with a total of 9.5. Is that the current number you're showing?
Well, I'm actually getting a little bit bigger. Right now at BetMGM, I'm seeing minus 205 and plus 165. So this has gone up because I thought, you know, anything around north of like 150, I would be very interested in the Arizona Wildcats. And now that I'm seeing even some 170 in the market, that's where my money's likely going tonight. I think that that is a big price. And I respect Vanderbilt. And I do think that they are the rightful favorite in this tournament. But I just think that that price is a little bit big for an Arizona team that I think can find ways to manufacture runs that aren't going to have to live off the long ball.
All right, on to the big leagues. Major League Baseball in progress for your Saturday. Currently three games in action. The Oakland A's at the New York Yankees. Chris Bassitt versus Domingo Germán. Yankees closed as a favorite here at BetMGM at minus 135 with a total of 9. But so far, it's been the Oakland A's early and often. You talked about the runs being scored in the College World Series. A lot of runs on the board in Major League Baseball today. Right now, the Oakland A's on top of the New York Yankees, West. Top of the seventh inning in the Bronx, 4-2 Oakland.
Yeah, not a ton of movement here. Maybe a little bit of trickle to the Yankees. I think it closed 135 at BetMGM. But we talked about a couple weeks ago how Matt Chapman was struggling. He's starting to get the bat going. Had a solo shot here in the fourth. It is a 4-2 game. Matt Olson has driven in two as well. So the A's starting to pick it up, and you're waiting kind of for the Yankees. Ironically, the hottest hitter recently for the Pinstripes has been Gary Sanchez, who has, you know, usually we know what the story is on Gary Sanchez. Not a very good average, not a very good slugging or OBP or anything like that, but a guy can absolutely live off the long ball, and he just hit one, I believe, here in the sixth inning. So now a 4-2 game. Oakland did get the win last night with Caprillion returning to the Bronx. That's where he was drafted, actually, originally back in 2015. Then they dealt him to Oakland, the Oakland organization, as part of the Sonny Gray deal. Sonny Gray now, of course, in Cincinnati. But 4-2 lead here, top of the seventh, two outs, Athletics.
Brooks Koepka has got his round underway for the third round of the United States Open. He pars the first hole, and on the second hole, from the first cut of rough in the fairway, he knocks it to about 5 feet on the second hole, so he'll have a birdie opportunity there to get to red numbers. He is currently at even par for the championship. The New York Mets are at the Washington Nationals. David Peterson versus Joe Ross. Nats went off as a home favorite at minus 130 with a low total, of course, of 6.5. This is the first of two as the Metropolitans take on Washington in a doubleheader today at Washington, D.C. And right now it's all Mets, Wes. 5-1 top of the sixth inning in favor of New York.
Yeah, it's all Mets. It's all Francisco Lindor. He is responsible for all five runs on the board. Two-run shot in the top of the first. Also a base hit, scored a runner in the top of the third, and then another two-run shot for Francisco Lindor. So all five runs are five RBIs for Frankie Lindor, as they do have a 5-1 lead. Nats did get a run here in the bottom of the fifth. Both starters now out of the game. David Peterson actually did not go the full five innings, so he, I don't believe, is in line for the decision. But nevertheless, 5-1 here, Mets. And the Nats really got the money today. They got the win last night. Very low scoring game. It was 1-0. Nats get the win. But Joe Ross got the money today. This opened minus 112, went up to about minus 130 here at BetMGM. I believe that was one of the highest marks in the market. So far, the money not right in this one, though, as the Mets on top.
The Stanford Cardinal trailing NC State 4-0 in the top of the fourth inning. There are two down and two on, runners at second and third for the Wolfpack as they look to add to their 4-0 advantage again in the top of the fourth inning down there at the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska. Finally, one more Major League Baseball going on right now, and that is the Miami Marlins and the Chicago Cubs. Pablo Lopez versus Jake Arrieta at Wrigley Field, and Chicago took some of the money this morning. West, it was right around minus 115 or a pick'em. Maybe the Cubs were a slight favorite. Moved all the way to minus 130 here on the money line. Your total of 9. And right now, all Marlins in the bottom of the third inning, 6-0 Miami.
Yeah, in a similar vein to what we just talked about with the Mets and the Nats here, we've got Adam Duvall. Like Frankie Lindor for the Mets, Adam Duvall has two-run shots of his own, responsible for 4 runs of the 6 for the Miami Marlins. And 6-0 early, Pablo Lopez has only given up 1 hit, granted through 3 innings, but you're right, Cubs did take the money. It was 115, now at 130 is where it closed at BetMGM. All Marlins. Marlins also got the win yesterday. You had a Cubs team that just lost 3 of 4 in New York. They were starting to get it going, at least over the last several days, kind of hitting a little bit of the struggle bus, but still up at the top in the NL Central, 39 and 31, but it's all Marlins so far early in Wrigley.
Brooks Koepka, his odds have now moved to 12-1 to win the U.S. Open as he does pour in that birdie at the second hole beginning his third round. He parred the first hole. He now birdies number two, so he moves to one under par for the championship. Just four off the lead, Richard Bland and Russell Henley will tee off in about an hour and 10 minutes from now down there at Torrey Pines. No other real changes in the live odds here at BetMGM West. John Rahm, still the favorite at 4-1, two shots off the lead. Louis Oosthuizen and Xander Schauffele both at 7-1. Matt Wolff at 10-1. Russell Henley at 11-1. And now Koepka drops to 11-1 as well. Justin Thomas at 16-1. He had a great round on Friday. DeChambeau at 18. And Bubba Watson just two shots off the lead at 20-1. So we'll continue to update this throughout the day. But I tell you what, a lot of star power, Wes, within half a dozen shots of the lead.
Yeah, and you mentioned Justin Thomas, and when we were talking with Nick Bogdanovich of William Hill earlier this week, he was one of the guys, along with Rory and along with Dustin Johnson, that at the top of the odds board that bettors were a little bit lukewarm on. And Justin Thomas has not really been in good form since he won the Players' Championship in March. I don't believe he even has a top 10 in that last month and a half or 2 months or so. But now only four back here. Look, this leaderboard is going to get real tight. I don't expect these leaders are going to go out and shoot two or three under par and be eight under at the end of the day. So as the leaderboard tightens, more guys get in contention.
Phil Mickelson has not even hit half of his fairways on the holes played today. He is through nine holes. I believe he's hit about two fairways, but still only one over par on the round. He is at plus three for the championship. We'll come back and preview some baseball coming up at the top of the hour right here on the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Basketball, hockey, and baseball games every week. It's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip. With your state-issued ID to open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you inside the Green Zone, presented by MGM. And I'll want to update the College World Series here. NC State takes advantage of those two base runners with two down, gets them across, and they now lead Stanford 6-1. The Cardinal batting in the bottom of the fourth inning there down in Omaha as the first round of the College World Series gets underway. 6-1 in favor of NC State in the bottom of the fourth inning. We mentioned how Justin Thomas, his odds had decreased here at BetMGM to win the championship, to win the U.S. Open, down to 16-1, and that was because he birdied his very first hole of the day. Brooks Koepka birdied his second hole of the day. He is at minus one for the championship. Brian Harman is two under on his round. He's at minus one for the championship, four shots off the pace, being set currently by Richard Bland and Richard Henley, and Justin Thomas also at one under par for the championship. Major League Baseball coming up just after the top of the hour, Wes. The Cleveland Indians at the Pittsburgh Pirates, 105 Pacific, 4:05 Eastern will be the first pitch between Cal Quantrill and Will Crow. The Indians are 3.5 games back of the Chicago White Sox in the AL Central. The Pirates have lost 9 of their last 10, and the Indians are just a short road favorite here today at PNC Park. -120 on the money line here at BetMGM. 8.5 for your total.
Yeah, they are just a short favorite, and they're getting bet against, really, by the market for the second straight day. Pittsburgh got the kind of a shootout win, if you want to call it. Shootout, not really a baseball term, but a high-scoring game nonetheless. 11-10, Pittsburgh got the win last night. It is Cal Quantrill going, so you don't expect that he is going to go very long. Kind of a quasi-opener, you would say, for the Cleveland Indians this season. So I think that's going to be the same thing today. Will Crow has not been great. 6.62 ERA. 4.65 on the xFIP. So that's about a two-run advantage, though, for Will Crow. So I think that's what guys are looking at, maybe looking at these peripherals and looking at these pitching numbers, see a little bit of good regression or a little bit of improvement coming for Will Crow. And they've already taken the money. This was +124 in the overnights at BetMGM, down to even money. Still about $1 to $1.05 and change, basically, on the market. I don't disagree with the move, but it's already moved so much that I wouldn't bet it as of now.
Dustin Johnson has poured in another birdie. He's 2 under par on his round through 8 holes, and he's now at even par for the championship, tied for 16th, and his odds have adjusted here at BetMGM to 25-1 to win the United States Open. The Texas Rangers will host the Minnesota Twins today in Arlington. Robbie Dobnak against Colby Allard. The Twins have taken 2 in a row from the Rangers, who have lost now 4 straight. Both teams bringing up the rear, Wes, in their respective divisions. It was nearly a pick'em game really throughout the morning, and now has just shifted to -115 in favor of the Rangers at home, 9 for your total.
Money coming on the Twins, and I agree, kind of what we saw at the last game. Randy Dobnak, 6.85 on the ERA, did return from an injury, so hasn't gotten a lot of reps this season. 4.80 on the xFIP, so at least a little bit of improvement perhaps coming there against Colby Allard, who kind of is really a part-time starter, or has been so far this year for the Texas Rangers. This opened +115, now seeing it basically either 105 or even money somewhere around there. So I agree with the move on the Twins.
Bryson DeChambeau about to get his third round started at the United States Open. DeChambeau comes into the day at even par. He will tee off just about now. He is now put a peg in the ground and getting ready to approach his ball and get his round underway. And Wes, if the stars align, we just might get DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka in a final round pairing on Sunday.
Yeah, there was one separating him, I believe, on the board yesterday for making that happen. So have not gotten it going as of yet. One quick update before we hit the break here. We just did have a goal. Morata for the Spaniards gets Spain on the board against Poland. Now 1-0. They scored in the 25th minute. About 30 minutes gone in this match. Spain trying to stay atop of the group E standing. So 1-0 over Poland.
All right, we'll touch on more of the soccer when we come back on the other side, and also get to the other games in baseball that will go to first pitch just about a half an hour from now. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you inside the Green Zone. We'll be right back on VSiN. The NHL and NBA playoffs are here, and our experts are covering every angle to find betting edges. VSiN hockey expert Andy McNeil's tracking all the NHL action, and our senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel has all the hoops insights. Our experts and the entire VSiN team give you all the tools to make the most of every bet on the playoffs, including odds and analysis for every game at VSiN.com and our daily members-only best bet emails. Now's the time to cash in on the playoffs. Sign up for a 10-day free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you inside the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. Wes, you were wrapping up that last segment with a soccer update. Of course, we have Euro 2020, the UEFA European Championship, going on. Earlier this morning, Hungary and France played to a 1-1 tie, and also Germany topped Portugal 4-2. Now, just about 30 minutes ago, it was Spain and Poland getting underway. If you could get us up to speed on that one once again, please.
Yeah, let me go ahead and start with what we had this morning. You mentioned Hungary and France with a 1-1 draw. Hungary does get a point. France still at the top of Group F right now because they did beat Germany in what is the group of death here, really, in Euro 2020 with France, Germany, Portugal, and Hungary in this group. France currently at the top of the heap here with 4 points. And, of course, how this works, you do have 4 teams per group. It's basically a round robin here, and then the top 2 teams are going to move on to the knockout round of 16. So that's what you're seeing here with France now with 4 points. Germany did get a big win, 4-2 over Portugal this morning. Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo, who did have a goal in the 15th minute, but the problem for Portugal is that they had 2 own goals that got credited to the German side. So Germany wins 4-2. Germany right now would be in that 2 spot because they have the head-to-head over Portugal. So Portugal, if they're going to advance, now there is a possibility based on ranking that they still could get put out into the knockout phase. So you don't necessarily have to be in the top two. You would obviously prefer that. So Portugal will have to get a result from France here on June 23rd. Germans and the Hungarians will also play. So nothing yet settled in terms of anybody having advanced into that knockout round yet. But currently the French in very good position. And then what we have going on here right now, Group E now about to be into the 36 minutes between Spain and Poland. This being played in Seville right there in Spain. They have a 1-0 lead. Sweden currently at the top of the heap here with 4 points. Slovakia right behind with 3. That was a match yesterday where the Swedes got the 1-0 win over Slovakia. And now Spain trying to get the full 3 points if they can beat the Polish here. And Poland right now, no points because they did lose that first match in group play 2-1 to Slovakia. So right now the Spaniards could get to a tie with the Swedes here. Remember, they drew back on June 14th as a 0-0 draw. So the Spaniards, to keep pace with the Swedes, going to need to get the 3 points here and look like they're on their way to doing it at least early on.
We mentioned that Bryson DeChambeau was ready to get his third round underway. He did tee off and find the fairway in the first hole and then got out of the bunker. Excuse me, he found the bunker with his drive on the first hole, got out of the bunker with a remarkable shot. He's looking at about 8 feet for birdie. I want to say 8 to 10 feet for birdie. Flew it past the hole. It really caught and came back towards the hole. Had some action on that out of the sand. And again, he is looking at about 8 to 10 feet for birdie on his first hole at the United States Open. Let's get back to the baseball, Wes. We've got a couple more contests that will go just after the top of the hour. Philadelphia Phillies and Aaron Nola are by the bay taking on the San Francisco Giants and Alex Wood. Giants have won 5 in a row and they remain on top in the National League West, 2.5 games ahead of the Dodgers and 6 ahead of the San Diego Padres. Now, Philadelphia, they're in second place in the NL East and just 4.5 back of the New York Mets. This game was pretty much pick 'em earlier this morning, and it looks like San Francisco has now emerged as a slight favorite, minus 115 here on the money line at BetMGM, and a low total in a good pitching matchup in a pitcher's park of just 7.5.
Yeah, Aaron Nola had a couple spotty starts really to start the month of June, but last time he was out there last weekend against the New York Yankees, held him to only 4 base runners in 7 2/3 innings, so at least it looks like he is starting to come back to what his form was earlier in the season. Giants, right now, you've seen that really the story of the year are these reclamation projects on this entire pitching staff has been holding their end of the bargain, including Alex Wood. So what you're looking to see, though, is if that bullpen is eventually going to regress. Their xFIP has been a full run better than their ERA, so they have absolutely overperformed in the bullpen with Jake McGee, with Tyler Rogers. They've been getting wins. They've been beating up on some of these bad teams in the NL West, most notably the Arizona Diamondbacks. So you're right. This is pretty much a coin flip game. The key for the Giants, though, is if Alex Wood's going to last long enough in this game to really get to the back end and the better end of their bullpen instead of their middle relief, which I think is kind of the Giants' weakness. So did not bet this game, but would maybe have a slight lean a little bit to the Phillies. Giants are getting the money. They've been the hotter team. Philadelphia right now, one game under 500. So sometimes we often see that in baseball where a team knows, okay, this is going to get us back to even Steven. This is going to get us back to 500. And you see a little bit of an urgency out of that team. So starting to see the Giants as favorites, minus 115, minus 105 to take back on BetMGM. You can also get some plus money out there in the market on the Phillies. And that's where I would lean here.
Yeah, I did play the Phillies and Aaron Nola today at minus 105. We will see how that goes. An update on the scoreboard for games currently in progress. The New York Mets leading the Washington Nationals 5-1 in the top of the seventh. The Yankees have tied it up with the Oakland A's. They went off as about minus 135 favorites today. Fell behind early, but now 4-4 in the bottom of the seventh inning. Still 6-0. The Marlins leading the Cubs now in the bottom of the fourth inning there at Wrigley Field. The Toronto Blue Jays are at Camden Yards to visit the Baltimore Orioles. It'll be Alek Manoah versus Dean Kramer. The fourth and fifth place teams in the AL East, and they're separated by 10 games, Wes. The Orioles, just 23 wins on the season. They've dropped 8 out of their last 10, and they're big underdogs at home today, plus 140 on the money line with a total of 10.
Blue Jays have hit the struggle bus here. They did get swept by the Pinstripers midweek, also lost on the road last night, 7-1 to Baltimore, who had a late scratch Eshelman in to pitch for the Orioles. No problem. 7-1 victory. Dean Kramer has not been very good this year. There is a little bit of regression. The XFIP is better than the ERA, so that's probably why you're seeing at least a little bit of a trickle of money on the Orioles. Alek Manoah is a good young pitcher, I think, with a good future for the Blue Jays, but it could be a little too much too soon. 2.66 ERA, 4.58 on the XFIP, so some regression is coming. I think the Orioles are worth the shot here at about $1.45.
Yeah, I took a little shot with them today just for kind of funny money. We'll check the scoreboard, also preview the Red Sox and the Royals when we come back. That's coming up about 25 minutes from now, and we'll also get to Game 7 for all the marbles tonight in Brooklyn when we return. BetMGM, the king of sports books. Sign up today and win $100 if you place a $1 wager on any NBA playoff game and either team hits a three-pointer, regardless of your bet's outcome. Simply use the bonus code VSIN100 when you place your first bet. Enjoy the playoffs more than ever with BetMGM. It's a new customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington, D.C., or West Virginia only. It excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. 1-800-270-7117 in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 800-889-9789 in Tennessee. And 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. The promotional offer is not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you. And we've got more baseball coming up in just about 20 minutes from now. It'll be the Red Sox at the Royals, 1:10 Pacific, 4:10 Eastern. Martin Perez taking on Brad Keller. Boston just a half game back in the AL East after the Tampa Bay Rays have now lost four straight. KC has dropped 8 of their last 10, and they're now 11 games back in the AL Central. Perez and the Bo Sox, a small road favorite here at BetMGM, minus 115. 15 on the money line. And how about this total, Wes? Are they playing at Coors Field? 11 for your total.
Well, I think for good reason. These are two pitchers I've been betting against and having more success than failure in terms of really doing that. If you look at Brad Keller, he's really struggled all season. 6.14 ERA, he's given up three or more runs in at least eight of his 14 starts. He's actually worse in Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City at home. Seven home starts this year. He's got a 7.80 ERA, given up a 3.31 batting average to opposing batters. So you're looking at that and you're saying, well, easy money on the Red Sox, right? Well, not necessarily, because their bats have really started to cool. They were hot to start the season. Now, Bogarts and Devers still playing very well. They've got a couple utility guys playing well. But overall, the offense, I think, despite what you saw in Atlanta this week, has cooled off a little bit. Now, this is what we expect come the summertime. You're getting the parks kind of heating up. Temperatures rising, not just here in Las Vegas, not quite the Las Vegas levels, I should say, at 115 degrees or so, but still rising across the country really here. And Keller's gotten a trickle of the money on the opener, 114, and now about minus 105 at BetMGM, some plus 105s also in the market. And look, I understand, because maybe you see some regression with Brad Keller, because that xFIP's only 433 and that ERA is 614. And he's had some rotten luck, too, this year. 367 in terms of the batting average balls in play. But I'm not that confident with Martin Perez either. He's a guy that's starting to get hit around the yard a little bit, even though Kansas City kind of the bottom third in all of Major League Baseball against left-handed pitching. This is one I'm going to stay away from the side. I don't disagree on the move. I'm not going to play it now that it's up to 11. But I don't disagree with this move at 10.5 to the over here. You could see a lot of runs this afternoon in Kansas City.
Bryson DeChambeau does convert that birdie putt on the very first hole. He is now 1-under for the championship, 1-under on his round today as he heads to hole number 2 in his third round. And here at BetMGM, he is now adjusted to 10-1 to go ahead and win this championship and defend his title, Wes. Brooks Koepka now to 11-1 as he tees off on number 5, I believe. Russell Henley still at 11-1. Xander Schauffele has drifted just a bit to plus 7. 750. He is three shots off the pace. Louis Oosthuizen at 7-1. He is just a shot back of Russell Henley and Richard Bland. John Rahm, still your favorite in the adjusted market at 4-1. Bland and Henley will tee off in just about 40 minutes from now. Wes, let's get to the hardwood. Game 7 in Brooklyn, 5:30 Pacific time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. And you cash your ticket on the Bucks, getting a game and a half as we now go to the ultimate seventh game here in this series. So they cover a game and a half, do the Milwaukee Bucks. And all you had to do was listen to me, my friend. I told you the Brooklyn Nets were going to rally around the troops there and the fallen hero theory on Tuesday night. They took a 3-2 series lead. And sure enough, the zigzag worked in game 6, where the Bucks came back and won that one outright and covered. And here we are with game 7. And it's going to be a good one, I have a feeling, Wes. Both teams certainly suffering from injury, more so on the Brooklyn Nets side, but they are currently installed as a 1.5-point favorite with a total of 216. What do you think we get in Brooklyn this evening?
Well, and for game 6, you also kept me off a loser, because I was considering, okay, should I try to middle here, having the Bucks plus 1.5 games in the series, and then it was 6 points on Brooklyn, and I ended up passing on that. I was like, okay, I'm just going to hang it out here, and eventually it worked. So we do have a game 7. Home team 6-0 in this series, the exact opposite of what we saw with Dallas and LA, where the road team won the first 6 games. And really what you look at here, Brady, is the total. Game 1, this was 239.5 at the close of business. And now what we're seeing tonight, it has trickled up a little bit to 215.5, 216 at BetMGM. Under 5-0-1 in this series, so are people betting the do factor in terms of it being over? And we know that game 7s in an elimination game, usually, at least historically, are a very good bet, and more often than not get there. I believe since 2002, 2003 season, game 7s, 36-22 to the under, so that's about 62%. And then game 7s, if you go into the conference semifinals, to the conference finals, to the NBA finals, as you go deeper into the playoffs, game 7s to the under even more so, 22-7, about 76% since that same time frame over the last about 20 or so years. 2002 since 2003. So obviously it's very hard for me to play an over, even though the over is seeing the money here, because by logic, defenders tighten up in a game seven. You know, it's lose or go home. So usually you're going to see the possessions go a little bit longer. Teams value the basketball a little bit more. Don't want to make a mistake. Want to make sure they get the best shot available. Don't turn the basketball over. And you also look at the pace for this series, the opposite of what we saw in the regular season meeting between these two teams. I think it's 97.8 possessions per 48 minutes. And now you've got Harden back. And Harden in game six, even though it was a losing effort, did give them much more of a contribution than he did on Tuesday night, where he was just kind of there. Even though he played a bulk of minutes, he was just kind of out there. You know, you come back from that hamstring, it usually takes a couple games before you're able to do that. But when you do have Harden in the lineup, you will get some more isolation plays. And when you get those iso plays, we know we see James Harden with the ball dribbling down the shot clock. He's going to go one-on-one. And that's going to bog the game down a little bit. So that's at least a point if you really like the under here in this spot. And I've been determining what I want to do at this game. I do lean with the Brooklyn Nets here in game seven, because it is very hard to go against this home team when the home team has won the first six games. But really quick, back to the total to veer back a little bit. Like I mentioned, about a 24-point drop from what we saw in game one. Three of the games three, four, and six, didn't even hit 200 points. So you have... This has been a really weird series. It just really across the board, not only the injuries, but how bad sometimes the teams have looked. Really, both teams have looked very good, or they've looked very poor. You look at the Nets at home, since April, they've been great. 15-2 straight up, 13-3-1 against the spread. That is 80%, so a possibility for some home cooking here. Kevin Durant did regress from that game five, but he still had 32 and I believe 11 in game six, so you knew what you were going to get out of him. James Harden at least gave you something, but where you really saw the drop-off was Joe Harris, Jeff Green. Joe Harris, who I've been talking up this series, and he certainly performed the good first half of the series, has not shot the ball well of late. The best three-point shooter in the league, he has gone cold over the last three games. So you would think maybe this is the game where he comes out a little bit better, because he's been one of the most consistent guys they've had, and he's been MIA the last few games. And we know that the Bucks don't defend the three well, because they do that drop coverage, which leaves these guys wide open, not only Kevin Durant, but also Green, also Joe Harris. So a little bit concerned on that side, really, for both of these teams. And honestly, this might be one where I just watch Brady, because I don't really know where to go, because these teams have been so inconsistent. I do at least initial lean would be to the Nets here, but the under certainly makes some sense, even though you're seeing the over get some money early on.
Bryson DeChambeau leaves his birdie putt short by about half an inch on the second hole. He will tap that one in for par and remain at one under for the championship. On the ice, Wes, it is game four between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Islanders at the Nassau Coliseum on Long Island, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Tampa Bay leads the series 2-1, and they have become a minus 550 favorite to win this series. The Islanders, a 4-1 underdog to come back and advance to the Stanley Cup Finals. For your game tonight, the defending champs are a road favorite once again, even though it looks like the home team is getting the money here. Here at BetMGM, really the high water mark with the Lightning as a minus 130 favorite. 5 is your total, heavily juiced to the over at minus 130.
I think the Islanders, Brady, really deserved a better fate in game three, but they did not get the win. 2-1, now 2-1 Lightning series here, but at the same time, you got to give some respect to Tampa Bay here. In terms of their defense, their offense and their power play especially gets so much of the ink. But if you look at the defense, they're only giving up 2.2 goals a game. That's the lowest of any of these teams remaining in the playoffs. And they really kind of played the Islanders style and won in game three. And there's something to be said for that, that Tampa Bay doesn't have to be a team that gets up and down the ice and really makes it a skate fest and tries to win with offense. they were able to win playing the Islander style, despite the fact that they're 2 of 8 on the power play. That's well down from what they did the first two rounds. Islanders, in terms of the numbers, you would think has outplayed Tampa Bay. 689 expected goals against 509 for the Tampa Bay. Beat them in high danger chances, 31-21. But, man, it's hard to get with the Islanders because I think they gave it everything that they had, and they've got to be discouraged not winning that game in Game 3.
When we come back, we'll have Mike Piranio, the director of race and sports here at the Mandalay Bay, and I'm betting he probably has about 4 out of the 5 guys at the top of the leaderboard in his pocket for the U.S. Open. Quite the golf acumen out of Mr. Piranio. We'll check in with him when we come back right here on the Green Zone presented by BetMGM.